thank you all so much. It's just wonderful to hear what God is doing in your life on Thursdays, but also so wonderful to hear in these meetings, especially set aside leader meetings, of how, you know, you were walking out and just really magnifying God's love towards people. So, and that, you know, that is what it's all about, because we are in a world, we are in a place that is without God and without hope. And we know the truth. We know the hope. We are able to share that with others. And it's just such a blessing that God opens that up for us to be able to do. I mean, what a blessing. Think about it. There's nothing darker or sadder than the situation on this earth is someone who is not born again and who looks to the world and the systems of the world for their direction. And to be able to have the privilege to share with them that there is another way, there is light, there is truth, there is salvation, there is healing, is the greatest gift that we can give, because God so loved that he gave his only begotten son. That's the greatest gift he could give. And then we have that Holy Spirit, and we can give that to others. And not just that, we can show others that it's not that you have some hope in the future, some promised land one day in kingdom come, but you have to suffer through life in great drudgery until the Lord returns, or as the adversary has promoted that ridiculous lie that you know, it's really you go to heaven when you die, you know, because the adversary just tries to take everything. He tries to take everything that's true and wonderful and the hope that's in God's word and is in the word that we seek out and twist it. And so people think that death is good, and we know that death is the enemy. You know, but we are able to share that with others. And I just love that, you know, I love that it's been brought up so many times that we're supposed to pray for the laborers, because that's what Jesus Christ said, but I always miss that. I just, you know, I thought when he's talking to his disciples or he's talking to the apostles, it never occurred to me that he was saying that to us, and that we're supposed to commit this to faithful minister, faithful laborers who will be able to, I'm paraphrasing horribly here, but to be able to share it with others also. You know, that's what we're supposed to do. And, you know, as Peter mentioned, that's what they do in India. You see it, and it's working. And, you know, I can say of my own life, with my biological family and with the people that have been my friends, in my other life, in the pre-Christ family, I know that they all think that I'm completely insane. They think that they don't understand my life. It doesn't make any sense to them. You know, it's a conundrum. I would just pick up and go to another country and get rid of everything I had, and, you know, really felt that God wanted me to go to another country, and I would go there and, you know, not work for wages. And, you know, I never went without. Never went without. You know, I just remember one time I had a friend come down. I was in Latin America, and she came down and she brought some documents to me that I needed from the United States. And it had not been my intention, but I remember when she did it, part of them were my tax documents. So she knew how much money I made a year, but she also had opened some envelopes for me when I was in the States, because I had mail going to her house, and she was able to see, and again, it wasn't my intention for this to happen, it just did. She was able to see that at that particular point in my life, I gave what I made a year. It was maybe 90%, and it just happened that way. It wasn't something I thought about, but I wasn't hurting. I was never, you know, there have been times that the adversary has definitely reared up, but you know what? There just comes this time that you're in a warfare too, and you buckle down and you say, yeah, come on, I got Christ in me. I got Christ in me. And the mountains will come in front of you, and you just look at that mountain and you say, move. I said, move in the name of Jesus Christ. Mountains like to act like they won't back down, but they will back down, because we have the power and the authority to use the name of Jesus Christ, and that is the name above all names. And so I'm just so encouraged. I always am when I get to just spend the day with you all, especially because I very rarely get to be in the full fellowship now, because, you know, my work and everything. But, you know, I want to say that God has put so much on my heart to do, and I have a lot of things I need to wrap up and take care of, my mother's estate and getting my house in order, which has really been a blessing, because God just, everything that I've needed to get this house in order has been there, or it's come to me, or I had it in the other apartment and wasn't really sure where I was keeping it. And I have this beautiful house now that's fully furnished, and I didn't even have to buy the furniture for it. So I'm really blessed, and as I look at things, I think, oh, I have to get rid of this thing, and I have to do this, and I have to sell this, And in my own mind, in my own flesh and blood mind, I begin to think that I have to do things in an order of operation. You know, I have to deal with this thing, and then I'll deal with this other thing, and then I can deal with this thing, and then at the end of the line, I can do these things for God. But I have to take care of all these things first. And there are things we have to do. We do have to do our job. We do have to do things, you know, as they come to us. But God has just really, you know, shown me today, and it's been repeated here, that he's able to act the second we're ready. That's it. He's ready to act the second we're ready. So I can say I need to do all these things, or I can look at something. Like I have one situation with someone who was supposed to do some documents who just for some reason is dragging their feet. And I have been kind of moaning about it and groaning about it, and I can't get this done to this person. And then this morning I just had another epiphany, like, why don't I just take it to God? Why don't, because I had another situation with some cat litter, and it was kind of stressing me out. I was trying to clean in this one spot, and I thought, God, I need something to stick under that cat litter box. I'm going back to my other point, I promise. And I thought, well, my first thought was I need to buy something, and I need to do something. And I thought, okay, no, I need to go to God. God, I need to fix this cat litter box. What can I do? And he showed me that I had a mat in that second, that I had a mat that I could put under the cat litter box, and it fit perfectly, and the problem resolved. And then I went back to being angry about this lady not doing these documents. And I thought, how silly am I? I go to God with a situation about a cat litter box, which really isn't a situation. It was an aesthetic thing that it was annoying me. But I go back and I take care of the hard thing on my own, because that's what I have to do. So I looked at it and I just thought, what am I doing? Why am I saying what I'm seeing? And I just had to laugh, because that's not what I do in all aspects of my life, but I need to. And so I said, you know what? The lady is taking care of the taxes, and she's got a fire under her. She's getting them done, and the documents are getting to me. And I looked over at the other pile of paperwork and all these companies I'm supposed to be running since my mom passed away, and I don't know what I'm doing. And I have not been able to get through this thing and this person here and this attorney and this and that. And I thought, what am I doing? You are resolved in the name of Jesus Christ. I don't know how it's going to happen. Not my problem. But the mountain. But the mountain is deceptive, because sometimes the mountain shows up and you think a mountain is maybe a disease or a sickness or a poverty. The mountain shows up in all those little things. Like when you try to get into your bank account and you can't remember your logon, you change the password but you can't remember it. So you got on to do something really quick, and then 20 minutes later, you're still trying to get signed in. That's a mountain. It's the adversary getting us off what needs to be done. And you know, I remember one point, when my mom had first passed away and I went to her house, I had to check the mail, but I had to get the keys changed in the mailbox because someone was stealing mail. So I went down to the mailbox and the key got jammed in the mailbox. Now, I couldn't shut the mailbox when the key was there, and I thought, what am I going to do? And then it dawned on me. And I said, get out of there right now in the name of Jesus Christ. And I pulled the key out. You know, we can use it for big things and we can use it for little things. And we can, you know, we have this power and we're walking in it and we're all seeing it. We're all seeing it manifest in our lives. You know, we have Mary Long, when she first joined the fellowship, she was begging for change on the side of the road, and it was infuriating to hear a child of God in that situation. And she started walking and boom, was a Fiesta red car. You know, we see these things happening in every single one of our lives, and we can share this with others also. They don't have to be living in the poverty. They don't have to be living like that. And there's just, you know, everyone shared about sharing and giving, and I will say one thing. Even before I was in this fellowship, even before I even knew fellowship still existed, as many of you know, I thought I was the only believer left in the world. For many years, I really did. I thought I was the only one. I don't know what I thought happened to everybody else, but I thought I was the only one. But I wouldn't not give. I wouldn't not give. And I'm not saying this. Please do not think it's arrogant. I wouldn't not give. When I was in Latin America at one point, I was facing some really ugly situations. And I got real bold. And I said out loud to the adversary, all right, I'm giving all of it. And I gave all of it. And I was in another country with no way out. And I looked at God and said, that's your problem. And now I'm sitting in a beautiful three-bedroom house. So, you know, don't not. Once upon a time, I remember I was in a very ugly situation in Tallahassee, Florida, where I had just didn't have a job, and the economy had tanked, you know, the world systems. And I remember having a little bit of money and keeping aside, at that point in time, I still tithe. I kept aside the tithe because I thought, well, I might need this. I might need this. So I'm still going to give the money. I'm going to make a note of it. You're going to get your money, God, but I'm going to hold this in case I need it. And at one point, because I wasn't able to find a job and rent was coming up, and I just remember realizing, oh my God, what have I done? And I had been attending a church there for a while, and it wasn't sitting near my house at all. And again, I didn't have a whole lot of money at the time, so driving was an issue because it cost money to put gas in the car. But I remember as soon as I had realized what I was doing, I ran upstairs, got my little Azusa Rodeo, I booked it to the little Calvary Chapel that I had been attending. I'm sure the lady inside the church was very confused because it was the middle of the day. And I'm banging on the door, and she opens the door. They had a little donation box in the front. And I just said, I gotta give something. And I ran in and dropped the money in because I realized I was blocking God from being able to work in my life. And I think the next day, it was within a few days, some company called me and offered me a job. And I had never even applied there. And it wasn't that God was waiting for me to give money. It wasn't that God was, you know, well, when she gives money, I'm going to give her a job. And I, you know, it's that we are blocking. You know, they say the Dead Sea is the Dead Sea because water goes in, but nothing comes out. So you just have to free that up. You've got to open that up, and, you know, in every single aspect of your life. And I think I shared this before, but I will just share it with you all again really quickly. I read it years ago. I don't remember it verbatim, and it's actually, I believe, a Hindu story. But when I read it, I thought, yeah, that's right. That there was a beggar man on the side of the road, and he saw the great king coming on the horse and carriage and all the whoop-de-doo that comes along with, you know, the pomp and circumstances of such a situation. And to his surprise, to the beggar's surprise, the king had the carriage stop, and the king looked out and said to the beggar, "What do you have for me?" And the beggar was so surprised that this great, rich king was asking of him that he reached into his pocket and he had a little bit of money that picked out like a penny and reached up and gave it to the king. And the king carriage went away and the beggar reached into his pocket and he had one solid gold penny. And when he realized that what he gave to the king turned to solid gold, he repented that he hadn't given him at all. So I just really thought, you know, maybe a Hindu proverb, but I thought it was just really meaningful because, yeah, we've got to give God our all because he can use us and he can magnify us and he can use us to reach others, but we have to be willing to let him do that. And so I'm just really thrilled to be here with you all. I don't even know where that came from. I had nothing prepared to speak. That's just so funny. I'm just really thrilled to be here with you all. And I love you all so much. And I will have to hop off here at 3 o'clock, so I've got a phone call with someone at 3. But you all are all amazing, and I just cannot wait. And, you know, I've always just wanted, you know, the last few years, wanted to be able to speak out and encourage others around the world to just, you know, walk out. Because what God says he will do, he will do. And you don't have to wait. You don't have to wait till you get better. You don't have to wait till you, you know, get to this point in your life. You don't have to wait till you know something. You can walk out right now. Walk out right now and do it. So I love you all so much. You're all amazing. That's